Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now. But something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
ADHD used to be something nobody knew they had if they were a girl. But now ADHD is one of the most searched terms on the internet. It's widely talked about, still largely misunderstood, but it's undeniable that this diagnosis is increasing exponentially. First of all, girls are usually overlooked because there are genuine gender differences, not only in our symptoms and our behaviors, but frankly, in society's expectations of how girls are supposed to act and how boys are supposed to act. There are different types of ADHD. You might be ADHD predominantly hyperactive impulsive subtype. You might be ADHD predominantly inattentive and distractible subtype. Or you might be what most females are, ADHD combined type, which means that you have some of the symptoms of hyperactivity and impulsivity and some of the symptoms of distractibility and inattentiveness. That certainly applies to me, and maybe it does to you too. But as a group, many females with ADHD are pretty high functioning. And that's another reason why we were overlooked and ended up coming late to the ADHD party. Now, what does it mean to be high functioning with ADHD? Well, what it means is that you may have actually done well in school. You might have even been a teacher's pet like I was. But what you had to do to get those A's was extreme. Your friends had time and energy to go play while you slaved away over your homework. No matter how good your grades were, it's entirely possible that you were achieving according to the school's standards, but actually underachieving according to your true potential. Another reason why women don't get diagnosed with ADHD is that due to their struggles with the symptoms and not having any idea what the true problem is, they get burned out over time and became anxious and eventually depressed. In fact, by the time most women get an accurate diagnosis of ADHD, they've already been walking around with the diagnosis of anxiety or depression or both, sometimes for decades. But do they actually have both? Or is the depression and anxiety a result of struggling mightily with ADHD symptoms that were undetected and not dealt with? Well, in many cases, that's the case. Now, I tend to be a very positive person, even though I feel that like my life has been a lot harder than it needed to be because of what I didn't know about the kind of brain I have. That being said, I can see that there's lots of evidence for positive shifts in public perception about ADHD. And because of my positive attitude, I like to say there's never been a better time to be a woman with ADHD than now. The reason I think this is because there are many people literally coming out about their ADHD. I sometimes refer to my getting diagnosed and sharing the information as coming out of the ADHD closet. And at this point in time, there are a number of celebrities, athletes, CEOs, and very high profile people who are sharing their diagnosis proudly. Now, a couple of them, I have to admit, are doing so as ambassadors for a drug company, which happens to make an ADHD drug. But I think just knowing that there are people that are really successful in their chosen fields who have ADHD gives the rest of us a little bit of ease in owning up to it ourselves. Something you really do have to get used to, though, is the idea that you need to become your own advocate. Let's face it, you have been dealing with this your whole life and didn't know it. You probably have been wearing some other labels all along. In fact, I think many women delay getting diagnosed, even though they strongly suspect and maybe deep down know that they have ADHD, simply because they don't want to deal with stigma and the feelings of shame that go with it. Well, I'm going to teach you in future episodes how you are free to be ADHD and stigma free, because that part of the story is optional. You have a label, but you already had labels. Those you gave yourself and those given to you by others. I'll share with you some of mine. Hyper, oblivious, self-absorbed, chatty Kathy. So my point is this. Some of us are really worried about having a label, but I believe we've already had them. And probably the things you've been saying to yourself about these symptoms is probably way worse than four little letters. At least it was for me. I think it's time for us to stop hiding. Stop excusing, over-explaining, and trying to cover up the evidence of our ADHD. I believe it's time for us to come home to who we really are, all of who we really are. And if this is part of you, let's deal with it. Let's own up to it. Let's figure it out. Let's learn everything we can about it and start to unload the ADHD baggage you didn't even know you had. Bad habits, negative self-talk, limiting beliefs, and settling for less than the life you know you really want simply because you're not sure you can pull it off. Instead, I'd like to start orienting you to what I like to think of as the keys to ADHD success. And it all comes down to one very important word, acceptance. We need to become self-aware by gaining the knowledge, the understanding, and learning the tips, tools, and strategies, like the ones I'll be sharing with you, to make our life easier and make it work better. We also need to stop struggling so hard to conform and fit in. I believe we were born to stand out, and it's time to embrace that. I also think it's time for us to learn how to leverage our strengths by discovering, if we haven't already, what we really love and are really good at. We can spend more time highlighting those strengths and creating an ADHD-friendly life. We can work around all the struggles and challenges that used to just grind our gears and leave us feeling depleted and defeated, so that we can finally live the life we've always wanted to. If you're eager to get started, I invite you to do an exercise that I do myself and share with my coaching clients. It's called celebrating your success. Now, if you're anything like me, and I suspect you are, you pay way more attention to all your screw-ups, missed opportunities, and the times you've dropped the ball than you do to your amazing achievements, accomplishments, and all the things you do brilliantly and without effort. Take out a sheet of paper or do it on your computer if you prefer, and I want you to come up with at least 20 successes in your life, whether you have celebrated them or not. If you're not used to doing this, and as a recovering perfectionist myself, I really had to get used to this whole celebrating my successes thing. Don't push it too hard. Think of what you can, and it might help to break your life into different zones. Let's say the first 15 years, 0 to 15, and then 15 to 30, and 30 to 45, and so forth. Or you can break them up into smaller chunks. It's your exercise. You can do it your way. But what I want you to do is come up with at least 20 successes, however big or small. So let me give you some examples, because you're probably being way too hard on yourself. And you might be thinking they have to be really big, gigantic successes in order to count. I got news for you, girl. Everything counts. For example, when you were in the fourth grade and you were maybe getting teased or even bullied a little bit by a mean girl or a guy, and you stood up for yourself, even though you were scared, that's a success in my book. When you were 16 and you decided to apply for your first job with no work experience and couldn't imagine why they would hire you, but you did it anyway, give yourself another success for that. If you found yourself in a friendship that was all about the other person, and you kind of felt a little used and maybe even abused, but you cared enough for yourself to pull the plug and walk away, you give yourself a big success for that. And if you made a career change that required you to acquire some skills that you didn't have and frankly didn't think you were capable of, big ol' win. Or how about the meal you prepared for your fussiest family members, even though you didn't think you were going to make everything come out right on time and nothing under or overcooked or beyond recognition? Another success. I think you know where this is going. So dig in, give yourself some credit. And even if you don't think it counts, I promise you it does. Put it down and take a look at it and realize you are a person who has achieved a great deal. And maybe it's time to start celebrating your success instead of simply checking them off your to-do list. So have some fun with it. I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.